Love you, Pastor. And I want to hopefully be a part of what he's doing. And I mean that with all my heart. My heroes don't hit baseballs. And they don't drive race cars. They carry a Bible under the arm. But just because a man carries a Bible don't mean he's my hero. But those Holy Ghost filled, Holy Ghost anointed men are my heroes. I told my church this morning three things that's going to be very, very important in the days ahead of us. One of them is your Bible. Better pull it up close. Another thing that's going to be very important to us is the church. Another thing that's going to come very precious to us in these days is that Holy Ghost filled preacher. He's going to be very precious to you. And I appreciate the Lord and I appreciate you, Pastor. You're in the book of Ruth. Before I say any further, go any further here tonight, I want to tell you, you're going to may raise some eyebrows when I tell you what I'm going to preach on. Back in March, we had a pandemic hit our country. And not knowing where we was going, and because of the concern for people, and we shut the doors of the church. At my church, we met on Zoom. Never done it before. Not a live stream church. And when this is over, I won't be a live stream church when it's over. And no problem with it, but I'm just not one of those. I'm not going there yet. And for 8 weeks, 9 weeks, I preached to a camera. And they was at home. Hard, but God's grace came through. One morning, while we was on Zoom, as we call it, I had a guy come and sing for me, which is my brother, and he got to sing, and I'd rather have Jesus. And him, me, and a piano player, which was another man, three men in a church, and a holy God of heaven began to sweep in. I'm looking at a camera, not knowing how to handle it. Never had to handle it. I'm used to looking at faces and reading people. No wondering what they're feeling on that end. But I just went on no gut feeling I had in my heart. And I preached to a camera. Testified to a camera. He sung again. I think he sung I'd Rather Have Jesus probably 9, 10 times. And just leadership, I guess you call it. I looked into that camera and I said, some of you need to look over to your wife and say, I'd rather have Jesus. Didn't know if they were what was going on there, what's going on at their house, but I knew what was going on in my heart. Dismissed an hour and a half of Zoom and three people in the church and 150 at home. As soon as I dismissed, my phone blowed up. And it was people begin to text me. All of a sudden, people started showing up in the parking lot of the church. And wasn't doing nothing. I just opened the door and they'd hug me. I went down the road and I seen two of my church men on the side of the road waving their Bible at me as I went by. Got home, my wife met me out on the porch. Tears running down her face. She said, I don't know if you know this or not, Steve, but the same God that was with you was with us at home. Come to find out, had a boy in my church. He said, he just built him a little house, just a little old one-room house. And all he had was a dog. He said, but I went out on the porch and told that dog. He said, you don't understand this. He said, but I'd rather have Jesus. He said, next thing I know, I'm hugging my dog. He's out in the yard a-shouting. Do you wish for those days back? No, I want to look at people. But we had to go through it. And for the sake of health of other people, I opened her back up in June. I don't remember. 1st of June. And my church is hard to separate. Matter of fact, we're not separating. Matter of fact, we had snot running everywhere this morning. Everybody forgot the COVID this morning, hugged necks, and I seen a little old 22-year-old boy get born again this morning. And it's kind of been forgotten. And but I'm determined, other than trying to stop a virus from spreading throughout my church, there ain't no other reason I'm shutting my doors. You say, why? Because I want to preach to you on why church is essential. Ruth, if you have your Bibles tonight, why do we meet on a Sunday night? Why do you meet this morning, preacher? Why do you meet Wednesday night? And to be honest with you, I'd probably be at church tonight had your preacher not called me. And I tried to be here on the 1st, and he said, you got something better than that. And I'm going to say no, because I'm going to go back to church on Sunday night, but I wanted to come here. And we still out on Sunday night, but not because we don't think it's right, just trying to keep sickness down in my count, in my church. But I'm interested in the book of Ruth tonight. Ruth is a book of grace. Judges is a book of gloom. Samuel, the book of glory. But stuck between gloom and glory is grace. And I'll show you one thing. If we're ever going to go from gloom to glory, and we're in gloom. But if we're going to go from gloom to glory, we'll not get there without grace. So we're in the book of grace tonight, the book of Ruth. And you know the story. Amalek thought he was better off to leave his family and carry him down to Moab because he wasn't no bread. Better be careful about pulling out too quick, because the Lord will visit his people and give him bread before it's over. But he pulled out pretty quick and went down to Moab, and there his boys took unscriptural wives. What do you expect? That's where he'd raised them. And both of them died. Mahlon died. Chilion died. And Amalek died. And Ruth had heard how the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. So she woke up one morning and said, I'm going back home. And she looked at her daughter-in-law and said, y'all do what you want to do. I'm going back to the house. And Ruth took off and headed back home. Naomi did. She looked at Mahlon and said, go back to your kindred and your people. And Mahlon kissed her goodbye. You never find her again in the Bible. But there was a little girl by the name of Ruth that said this. She said, I ain't going nowhere. She said, I'm going with you. She said, I've seen something in you that I'm wanting. And I'm going to stay close to you, and I'm going back with you. And I'm going to, where you lodge, I'll lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. And where they bury you, I'll be buried also. So they both came back together. Let's begin to read the last verse of chapter number 1 before we read chapter number 2. So Naomi returned, and Ruth, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man, a man of wealth of the family of Amalek, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth, the Moabitess, said unto Naomi, let me now go in the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on the part of the field belonging unto Boaz. The word hap means that's her luck. But that's her telling it. I believe it's the providential hand of God. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto the servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and had continued from the evening, from the morning until now. And she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go to glean in another field. Neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eye be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go to the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. And she fell down, and she fell on her face, and bowed herself to the ground, and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes? Why shouldest thou take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been shown me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thy husband. And now thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of nativity, and art come into a people which thou knowest not hithertofore. The Lord recompense thy work, a full reward be given thee of the Lord of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. And she said, let me find favor in thy sight, O Lord, for thou hast comforted me, and for thou hast spoken friendly unto thy handmaiden, though I be not like unto one of thy handmaidens. Here's where I want to park a little while tonight. And Boaz said unto her at mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. Father, I thank you for this blessed day. Thank you, Lord, for this dear place. I thank you for this dear pastor, Lord. I beg you tonight, for a little while, would you touch me? Give me that I need from the Lord. Lord, move and stir among your people. Lord, I'm aware, Lord, that Lord, unless the anointing of the Lord and, Lord, the anointing of God touch a man, Lord, he's just a man. Lord, I'm aware tonight, Lord, if the anointing of God, Lord, doesn't touch a man, he'll be no help to nobody. But Lord, God, Lord, just a few minutes tonight, Lord, would you show us mercy and show us grace, dear Lord God. Undeserved and unfit as I am. But Lord, would you let your mercy, Lord, or show us grace tonight, Lord. And Lord, show us what that we need from God. Lord, touch us, Lord, with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. We love and honor and praise that you do. In your blessed, holy, and humbly name, would you humbly pray, amen and amen. And they came to Bethlehem. And the other part of the Bible, it's told, same verse, same chapter, book, it's called Bethlehem, Judah. That little word Bethlehem just simply means the house of bread. The word Judah means praise. Bethlehem, Judah just simply means the house of bread, the house of praise. I believe I know what that's a picture of. Not the building by no means, but where that congregation meets on a Sunday morning and back on a Sunday night. We can call it the house of bread. And I'm interested in what Ruth found when she came into Bethlehem, Judah. And I'm interested tonight in what she found when she came to Bethlehem, Judah. And look at the things she found that you and I will find at the house of God. Things you can't get at Walmart. Things you can't get down at Ingles. Things that Lowe's don't have on the shelves. Things that you need to get through this spiritual walk with God. And things that you need to walk this walk that we're marching on in victory. Our governor has declared that the church is not essential. It seems as though they think the tattoo parlors are more essential than the church. It seems as though they think the beer joint is more essential than the church. But can I remind you tonight, thank God, the church is very essential in the dead hour in which we are living in. I don't know about you, but I can't make it without the church. I don't know about you, but I get a hunger to sit among God's people. I get a hunger to sit and look at those people that I worship with. I remember when we were shut down for a time, that they would just, one Sunday evening, me and my wife went on the porch, and we didn't go back in till dark. And I have a one-way driveway, but they made it look like a freeway. And they were coming down the road, and one would come, the other would leave. One would come, and all day long we stood in my yard, around my sitting area where I have in my front yard. And we sat there and talked to church members, after family, to up into 9:30 at night. You say, why, preacher? They was coming by this morning to see the preacher. But what they didn't know, me and my wife was wanting to see them too. You say, why is it, preacher? There's something about that crowd down at the house of the Lord that I need to meet with from time to time. I don't identify with that crowd at Walmart like I do that church crowd. I don't identify with that crowd. Thank God over yonder at Lowe's, even though both of us may be wearing overalls, yet I don't identify with that crowd. Why? Because there's not a connection there. But those that's been born again by the grace of God, we have the same Father. And because of that, we have a kindred spirit in us. And because of that, thank God, I want to go down to the church every now and again. And so I'm interested tonight in some things that you found, and I'm only going to preach one to you. Some things that Ruth found at Bethlehem, the house of bread, remember, that makes church tonight essential. First of all, let me give you something, okay? She didn't find nothing until Boaz showed up in the field. Can I remind you something? I appreciate the field, but I don't get a whole lot of help till God shows up. Now, I understand tonight, thank God for a King James Bible. Thank God, I'm one of them. And I like a King James Bible, and that's the only Bible I'm going to have. And I like all of this other stuff, but can I tell you something? Church ain't church till God shows up. The choir can sing like a mockingbird on Sunday morning, but it ain't singing till God shows up. Thank God, they can testify and pray, but it ain't really no good till God goes to showing up. But when God walks into our field, thank God, when God steps up in the field, thank God, He turns a church into church. He turns preaching into preaching. He turns, thank God, singing into singing. And it's an awfully good place. Now, I understand tonight, He shows up with me on the lawnmower. He shows up with me behind a team of horses. He shows up with me walking up and down to my woods. But there ain't nothing like it down our church. Thank God, among God's people. And God goes to walking in a Baptist church. I've come into church time after time, dragging my tracks out. Thank God, didn't know. Matter of fact, I went in this morning. Thank God, and determined in my heart. God, if you don't help us here this morning, it's going to be doom and gloom. But thank God, God come walking by there. Thank God, I come out of my church this morning like a Tennessee stepping horse. You say, why? The Lord had visited my people, and the Lord had come to the field one more time where you and I labor for the glory of God. Now, let me tell you something, okay? Not only did he, there's no help until the Lord shows up, but I want to give you some help that she got that only could have been when Boaz came. First of all, let's go to verse number 14. And that's where I want to park a few minutes. Let's go to verse number 14. Verse number 13, she got help. She got help. She couldn't get nowhere else. That word comfort means to be relieved of stress. To be amen. To be released of heavy hearts. Never listen. This morning I had them testifying. I don't want to get on the subject of last week at all. I don't. But last week brought my crowd with heavy hearts. But thank be unto God when God walked in. Thank God they wasn't worried about what goes on in the White House. Thank God. Amen. What goes on in the White House will not affect what goes on at the house of the Lord. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. Can I tell you, the White House can be turned upside down, but God's people, thank God, that redeemed crowd can still meet at the house of the Lord, and God will walk in through and help His congregation. Amen. Notice first of all, verse number 14. And Boaz said unto her at mealtime. Here's the help she got. She got help by sitting at the table with Boaz. Come and dine. The master calleth. Come and dine. Now listen for me. It ain't ever Sunday morning. It ain't even ever Sunday night. And we may go a week. We may go a month. We may go 2 months. Now listen, buckle your seatbelt. We may even go 3 months without hearing that dinner bell ring. But every now and again, off in the distance. You know what I told my wife about 10 o'clock last night? I looked at her and I said, I don't know what's going to go on tomorrow, but there's a rumbling way down deep inside of me. I said, there's a rumbling deep in the... I had a man text me at my church and he said, preacher, what are we going to do? I said, I don't know, but I got a rumbling deep inside of me, and it cut me off. You know why? Because he didn't believe me. He told me that this morning. But thank God, you say, what'd you hear? I got to hearing that dinner bell ringing off in the distance. Amen. But every now and again, we meet there. I ain't got to hear that dinner bell go to ringing. I watch God's people go to coming around the table, and we get help at the table at the house of the Lord. I want to give you, first of all, the inviter to the table. Who invites her to this table? The only one that had authority to. Listen to me. The only one that had authority to invite her to the table. Now listen. Law invited her to the field. Here's what law says. When y'all harvest, Deuteronomy reads it. When y'all harvest y'all fields, you leave the corners and you leave the gleanings, because they're going to be some poor people out yonder and strangers, and she's exactly that. And law says, Ruth, you can go to the field. But thank God, law couldn't get her to the table. Listen for a minute. Law could get her to the field, but law couldn't bring her to the table. We're trying to come to the table by law. Amen. But we ain't coming to the table. You say, preacher, how did she get to the table? By an invitation from the man of grace. Amen. That's what brings us to the table. It ain't never some set of rules we kept, but it's the grace of God. Amen. Glory to God. I could jump over his pulpit. You say, why? Because I know I'm unworthy to come to the table. I know I'm unfit. But thank God, every now and again, I hear him calling out my name. Every now and again, he whispers my name and welcomes me to the field. Yeah. Let me give you something about law says stay away from the table. But grace said, come on in. I'm going to tell you what happened when you hear that dinner bell ringing. Thank God, it ain't law doing it. Law said, stay back, you ain't good enough. Law said, you ain't kept enough of it. But grace says, come on in here. Thank God, listen. Don't jump up on a fence post, crow like a bandy rooster. You've done something, you've got to go to the table. Because there ain't nothing you've done. Because the table, my Lord, ain't about you, it's about Him. Amen. Did you hear it? It ain't about you, it's about Him. He said, hey, I'm going to invite you to the table. Boaz invites her. Let me tell you something about Boaz's invitation. Nobody can uninvite you. Do you understand that? I don't know if that's a word up here. I made the word at my church. That means nobody can tell you not to come. I don't care if you don't meet the standards of everybody else. If God says come, come on in. Amen. I've seen people sit at the table I wasn't invited. I've seen people sit at the table I didn't think they'd worthy to come. I've seen people sit at the table, I'm over here scratching my head and thinking, oh, you know. But thank God it ain't up to me. It ain't up to me. Thank God to bring them to the table. But thank God, I'm glad when you said, preacher, won't you tell them not to come? I didn't invite them. And I can't uninvite them. Thank God, but if God ever invites you, there ain't enough demons in hell to keep you out. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. I feel like preaching tonight. You say, why? I've been invited a time or two when I know the brethren didn't think I should be. I've been invited a time or two when I know the world thought I shouldn't be. But God said I could come. And if God tells me I'm a coming, I'm a coming. Amen. I don't care if I don't fit the mold of everybody else. If God invites me, I'm on the way. Amen. He said, hey, what are you doing here? He told me to come. Ruth, you ain't good enough, I know. I agree with you. But you see that man there at that table? He told me I could come. So guess what, everybody else? Keep your mouth off of me. Because y'all can't tell me not to come. So we see the inviter to the table. But don't look at the setting of this table just a minute. Notice what it says. And Boaz said unto her. And Boaz said unto her at mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. I don't want to unravel it right here. I ain't got time tonight to preach on what those things represent. But if you notice bread, I see another picture. Another time when he used bread with the disciples sitting around observing the Lord. You remember the supper? What vinegar represent? How many members what they give him at Calvary? They give him vinegar at Calvary. I want to tell you what the table's all about. Thank God the table ain't all about me and you. Thank God it's all about a resurrected Savior. That's what the table's about. Thank God ain't about. Thank God keeping doing this and doing that. It's all about a resurrected Savior. That's what it's about. He said unto her, let her and dip thy vinegar in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers. Yes, sir. Here she comes. She got her little old sack. All she's got in it. Probably a few corn cobs here and there. Just got a little old sack. But she's been invited. By grace. Yes, and she comes into that supper. That table probably feeling. See, Ruth is probably, Naomi told her this. You ain't going to fit in. They ain't going to accept you. See, she's a Gentile. They ain't going to accept you. You're a stranger. And they're not going to accept you. I remember my first time going to an Amish church in my Lyston. And I'm walking up that road, up that hill, following an Amish buddy of mine. Never been to Amish church. You won't ever go back to nothing. But I remember walking up that road. And they all stared at me like Undertaker. Not grinning. They don't grin. Stared at me. And walked into that barn. They didn't grin a lick. They didn't like me being there. They thought me and my wife was an observer. They thought we were going to take pictures. Leroy looked at them crowd and said, he's with me. Stared at me. My heart was right there. I could feel it. I'm scared to death. I can imagine how she might have felt when she walked in that building, that day. They all looking at her. But as she got over there, she sat down beside the reapers. She sat in there, probably feeling unworthy. Listen to me. Stay with me. Feeling unworthy and unfit to be here. Have you ever felt like that in church? If you've ever been around real worship, you felt that way. And here's the order of this sitting. Listen to this order. Go home, read Dr. DeHaan and A.W. Tozer and find out what he says about this sitting. Boaz comes into the presence, to the head of the table. He sits down. He's got his head reaper. And among all them reapers sits a little old girl. With a little old sack, feeling as low can get. And all of a sudden, he looks at Logan. Logan gives this report. Mr. Boaz, today, 150 sheaves. Mr. Don, Mr. Boaz, today, 175 sheaves. But there she sits with a sack. Yeah. Have you ever felt like that in a Baptist church? Have you ever gone to church and you see that one over yonder worship? And that one over yonder goes to worshiping, but all of a sudden you're in the presence of that crowd. Yeah. And you feel like so low. Can you imagine how she felt? But it ain't over yet. Why she's sitting there feeling so low? Boaz, stand his feet. Now, in our day, we'd say something like this. We have an honored guest with us today. And I want her, if she would, please stand. Ruth, if you would, please stand. She's our honored guest. They didn't do it that way. That wasn't the way they done it. Boaz stands up, looks at them reapers, says, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, boys. Thank you. Thank you, boys, for what you've been doing. Thank you, boys. But all of a sudden, he girts himself up. You would think he's going to reach that big old reaper and say, buddy, I want to tell you something. You're the best reaper in the field. But Bible said, and he reached her.
That's right.
Hold on a minute. That word reach means to extend the arm. Wonder who he reached over. Have you ever had him to reach?
Yes, sir.
I believe I've been there just a time or two. Feel so un. Go to camp meeting and feel so little.
Yes, sir.
Go to camp meeting and feel like I'm not worthy to be in the crowd of these people. But all of a sudden, God reaches over. And he reached over. And here's what he done. He reached her.
Right.
Who is her? Parched corn. Who's he? Yes. Boaz stands up and said, I want to let y'all know who my honored guest is today.
That's right.
There you go, Ruth. Ruth probably thinks, he's feeding me.
That's right.
Have you ever been in that kind of service? Amen. Have you ever been in that kind of service? Well, you think you're so little. You come in here dragging your tracks out. And everybody around you is so much better than you. And everybody around you has done so much, a lot more than you. Everybody around you ain't done what you've done. Everybody around prayed a lot more than you prayed. Everybody around read their Bible a lot more than you read their Bible concerning what they're saying. Everybody around you, you just come in here so low. But by the time you hear that dinner bell ringing, and the Holy Ghost says, come in here and sit down. Sit down right there by my reapers. And I'm going to personally hand feed you parched corn. You know what he's doing? Here's what he said to that congregation. Reapers, let me introduce you to my special guest. Reapers, let me tell you who I honor. Y'all see that little outcast sitting on that table? She belongs to me. You see that little outcast sitting on that table? At that table? She's my honored guest. Can I tell you something tonight? I like to be the honored guest from a preacher, but a whole lot rather be an honored guest.
Yes, sir.
At God's table.
Amen.
Has he ever reached your parched corn? Stay with me. Has he ever, just you and him, you and the Lord, reached your parched corn? Brother Tim, brother, I don't know if you know, Brother Lockie passed away. And Friday night, me and my wife went all the way to Taylorsville to make sure we honored Brother James Lockie. Lockie was my hero, prince of preachers. And agree with everything? No. But he is my friend. Got to preach with him and for him on several occasions. So I went and paid my respect to Brother James Lockie. And they was showing a clip of Brother James Lockie. And they showed his picture of his life, when he was a young man. Then they showed him a picture of an older man. Then they got to the end. They showed a picture. of him preaching. And somewhere between the scripture reading and the end of that message, Brother Lockie slips into another world. Boy, the Holy God of heaven begins to come through. I ain't talking about no junk. I'm talking about something real. And I've watched Brother James Lockie's knees go to buckling. And men went up there and helped him up. He was 90-year-old when this happened. Men helped him up, and he's all under the power of God so bad, so strong. Men held him up while he preached. And I thought, I don't know if y'all boys understand what I'm saying. I don't care if I never preach to a crowd. I just want the Holy Ghost of God on me.
Yes, sir.
That's been my prayer since the day I started this thing. I want the Holy Ghost of God on me. I have my church praying for me often that God anoint their pastor with the Holy Ghost. Because I know the importance of the Holy Ghost. I went home and I laid in my bed. And somewhere around 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, I woke up. I'm laying there. Been run to death here lately, seems like, and I was tired. I'm wanting to go back to sleep. Brother Tim, but my mind went back to that man of God that preached on that video I seen. And all of a sudden the devil slipped up in my bed. And I welcomed him in, like I normally do. And he says, here's what he said to me. You hear that preacher preaching, you're a fake. And I believed him. He said, the last time you shouted across the church, that wasn't real. And I believed him. The last time God touched you up yonder at Lyle Down, you made a fool out of yourself. And that wasn't real. You're deceiving everybody. And I believed him. But while I'm sitting there wondering if I'm a fake, listen to the devil tell me I'm not real. Something do this number. And at 5 o'clock in the morning, I go to eating parched corn. 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm dipping my corn in his vinegar. And me and him sitting there eating together. You say, what's wrong? What is that, preacher? Thank God sometimes I don't feel like I can even get out of bed. But I'm glad God comes by.
Amen, sir.
Let me tell you something, okay? That's what I'm going to tell you. I ain't through yet, but listen. I don't know what the world's going to do. But I do know one thing. He's still feeding his people with parched corn.
Amen.
Now listen.
Yes, sir.
When he reaches her that parched corn, it don't only say, you're special. It don't only say, you're my honored guest. He said, but I'm going to exalt you. First thing I want to do, I want to exalt you, my Lord. Listen, what I'll tell you. I'm going to exalt you above the reapers. Even though you only got a sack. Even though you only got just a little bit in your sack. I want to exalt you above the reapers. Listen, stay with me. But not only do I want to exalt you above the reapers, let me exalt you above my maidens. Even though she feels, if you would go with me, let's look at a verse right here in the Bible and see what it says. Latter part of verse number 13. He says, thou hast comforted me and thou art hast spoken friendly unto thy handmaiden. Though I be not like unto one of your handmaidens. You know why Boaz exalted her above the reapers and above the handmaidens? Called them an attitude. She says, I'm not worthy to even be a maid in your service. I'm not worthy to even be a maid at your table. I'm not worthy. See, listen, okay? He'll never feed you parched corn unless you think he owes you something.
Right.
Yeah. He'll never feed you parched corn like you, unless you think you're somebody.
That's right.
Because I've read, listen, Because I read this verse right here where it says this in the book of 2 Timothy. Humble yourself in the mighty hand of God, and that He may exalt you in due time. Listen, wonder where He's going to exalt you at. I believe it'll be down yonder in that worship crowd. Listen to what I'm going to tell you right here. Worship will identify who you really are. People may fool you by testifying. They may fool you by running. But when the real power of God moves in, you'll know who's sitting in the crowd.
Yes, sir.
Listen to me.
That's right.
When real power of God moves in, see, you can sit at the table, but that don't mean He's reaching you parched corn.
That's right. Amen.
I just don't want to be a visitor at the table. I want Him to reach me parched corn.
Yes, sir.
I just don't want to come and sit at the table. A lot of people are satisfied just sitting at the table.
That's right.
Watching you eat.
Yeah.
I don't want to be one that just satisfied watching you eat.
Amen.
I want Him to reach me parched corn.
Amen.
I just don't want to watch them worship. I just don't want to watch them get in deep with God. I just don't want to watch them raise their hand. I just don't want to watch them. Listen, this morning at my church, I went in, Brother Tim. My heart was to get that crowd off of election so fast as I could get them off of it. Can't change it, get them off of it. Because I knew if I didn't, I'd have doom and gloom all morning. And I knew I had people coming in and dragging their tracks out. I knew that. My church started off and my desire was to not say a word about it. I wasn't going to say a word. And I didn't. But somewhere, back yonder in the corner, bless her heart, she began to tell us how bad it was.
Yeah.
And I thought, I don't want to hear that. And I wasn't being rude. I was just, wouldn't say much amen. I was just shaking my head, trying to be courteous with her. And oh, how bad it is. But I got a man sits on my front row right there. Lost a son back in the spring. Hung himself. Found him in his garage hung. And you thought of anybody gonna talk doom and gloom to be him. Why she's a talking doom and gloom back yonder? I said, oh no, I gotta stop it. As the minute that hadn't started, here come another. Talked about COVID and how bad it is. I don't want to hear that today. That ain't what I'm here for. I'm here to thank God to get my feet, to get myself at the foot of Calvary as quick as I can get there.
Yes, sir.
And about that time, taking prayer request, that man that lost that son stood at his feet. But he didn't have nothing of doom and gloom. He said this to his Uncle Ricky. Ricky said, Pastor, I ain't got no sad story to tell. And I knew he had something real. You see, what was happening? He was fitting to get some parched corn. And all of a sudden, Uncle Ricky was saying, talking just a minute, he went, I don't care, I'm glad I'm saved. And about that time, he said, I was down at the barn this morning praying. He said, I went in the barn sad. He said, but I come out happy. He said, you don't know why I'm happy. And he just plain talking, okay? Y'all want to know why I'm happy? I'm born again. And then he made this statement. I don't care what happens in the world. It can't change that. I've been born again. You say, what happened? Thank God I got to hearing that dinner bell ring. And I got to seeing Uncle Rick eat parched corn. Thank God. But I didn't say, hey, Lord, thank God they feed it. I wanted me a little bit of it, too. Thank God I wanted to get involved in it. Hey, I just didn't want to sit on the sidelines. Thank God I wanted God to reach me some parched corn before the day was over with. I wanted God to come in. Thank God and say, hey, Steve. Thank God I come to fellowship with you this morning. I just don't want to sit on the sidelines and watch them. I want to get involved in it.
That's right.
Sitting at that table is the place. Listen to me, preacher. For I wish I learned it a long time ago that he separated who they were.
Right.
My Lord. How long has it been, Mama? I know. Listen to me for a minute. Listen to me. You think she left there sad? In a right way. I bet she left there going, huh, don't think about me. In a right way. You know what I'm talking about. Y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. She come in like this. Sorry. Excuse me. She come out of there. What do you think about that? I'm not talking about boastful. I'm talking about being glad. God has honored me today. Boy, I don't know if I'm going to be right here. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you something, okay? I just don't want to be one sits on the pew and watch him feed them.
Amen.
I want to be one leaves out of there and saying, hey, I got me a loaf of bread too. I want to be one of bad pride, good pride, I don't care what you call it. But I want to be one out of there that walks out of that church thinking, hey, guess what I got to do today? And you know what I want my little boy, you know, they little more, you know what my boys to do? I want my boys to go home and say, Lincoln, I don't know if you know this or not, your papa was eating bread this morning. But I won't match you. I ain't got to take little Emory home and say, Emory, I don't know if you know this or not, but this morning God was feeding your papa.
Yes, sir.
Presley, I don't know if you know this or not, but when your papa this morning was unholding that Bible, thank God in telling that church this morning, it's the only thing I got that will not change. It's the only thing I got that's certain. This is the only thing I got. Thank God that it's forever settled. And why is I telling that church everything about that Bible? That was your papa eating bread this morning. You think, why, preacher? Thank God, I want to sit and meet with him. And I don't want to come in there thinking, hey, look at me.
Amen.
I want to leave out of there saying, hey, do y'all see that? Hey, do y'all see what he did for me this morning?
Amen.
Listen, how long has it been since you fed your parched corn? Be honest. See, we think we're sitting at the table. He's feeding us. I like to sit at the table. But every now and again, I want him to reach me parched corn. How long has it been? Listen, let me ask you a question. How long has it been, Dad? I still keep a saying, Brother Hanley Milby said. I still say it. Because I'm going to live by it. They will not carve my name on a tombstone to my youngest, see their daddy have a God fit.
Amen.
Amen. And my grandyoungest will not carve their papa's name on a tombstone. They see their papa have a Holy Ghost, real move of God, God fit.
Amen.
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 So I think I'll say, he invited me and I'm unworthy, Lord. You told me to come.
Yes,
have you ever argued with him? I can't, Lord.
Yeah.
I've been right there.
Yes,
I've been right there, Brother Don.
Yes, sir.
Lord, are you sure it's me you're inviting?
Yeah.
Lord, I didn't do right this week, Lord.
Yeah.
It's you, Steve. Lord, are you sure, Lord? Lord, is this really you or is this my feelings? Lord, if it is you, Lord, I don't know for sure. What about that time he says, come on in here? Thank God, I'm glad God knows.
Amen.
I'm glad God knows how to set the table. I'm glad God knows where to set the table at. I'm glad God, you say, preacher, God can set a table on the lawnmower. I know that. But thank God for the days he set it at the house of God. Thank God for the days he set it. Listen, I love y'all. I do. I love you. I love these mountain people to death. Y'all more, I go down in other places. I don't fit in. But up here in the mountains, I fit in pretty good among y'all mountain folk. And I'll tell you something. I love y'all to death. But I'd rather God set me a table at Pernell Baptist Church than I had anywhere. Amen. I'd rather God set me a table down yonder in that little congregation. Thank God, right there on the brown pews. And let me set at a table among my people than I had anywhere in the world. Amen. Brother Don, he touches me after it's a barn. He touches me on the lawnmower. But I say, God, do it in church. Do it in church. Do it in church. Touch me at the house of the Lord. Guess how I left this morning? I went in there worried. I don't care if White House blows apart. I got a table. I don't care. Thank God if the White House falls off the map. I got a table.
Yeah.
I don't care. Thank God the Senate don't get in. I got a table. I ain't got it. Don't tell you something. They may change the government. They ain't changing my table. My table ain't governed by the world. My table ain't governed by the things of this world. He governs my table. I'll say, Lord, set me a table. That's the house of the Lord. You say, why, preacher? Much, much needed at the house of God. I like church. Let me tell y'all something. I preached this. I ain't preached this message at my church yet. And I ain't got here yet. I've had it lined up for 3 weeks. I ain't preached yet. And one morning changed me right in the middle of it. So I hadn't preached it in my church yet. But I'm going to tell you something, okay? I like a table. And I like seeing them. I like looking at them. But I'm going to tell you really, really what helps me is when I get to sit down beside of them and they reach their preacher parched corn. Now listen to me what I'm going to tell you. Buckle your seatbelt a minute. The only thing that I have a lasting effect on you at church is things done in the Holy Ghost.
Amen. That's right. Yes, sir.
Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
The only thing that I have a lasting effect on you will be things done in the power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. You may remember things. You may remember things that went on. But if there's ever things going to have a lasting effect on you, that'll go to your grave with you.
Yes,
a life-changing experience. At church will be things done under the anointing of the Holy Ghost of God.
Amen.
So I say, Lord, for gospel way, ain't that right? Ring the dinner bell.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what gospel way needs. We need another, more members. No. Forget that. Preacher, we need another building. Forget that too. Preacher, we need us a bigger parking lot. Forget that too. Just go ask him and ring the dinner bell.
Amen.
Just say, Lord, there ain't a whole lot there, but would you ring that dinner bell come Sunday?
Yes. Amen.
Listen to me. I ain't preached on Wednesday night in 2 years.
Amen.
I ain't preached on Wednesday night in 2 years. I know it stings a lot of people. But can I tell y'all something? I'm fitting to baptize 17 people. And I don't read them in either. They don't get in by the Holy Ghost, they don't get in.
That's right.
I ain't telling them nothing.
Amen.
I ain't just throwing no Bible in their face and believe, but I ain't doing that. If God don't get them in, they don't get in.
Amen.
Amen. That boy that got saved this morning has been in the altar 4 times in the past 2 years. This morning he got in. You know what I asked him? I said, let me ask you a question. I don't know. I don't want to know, are you saved? I want to know, where'd you get saved? He said, back yonder in that aisle.
Yeah.
I ain't preached in 2 years, maybe 3, on Wednesday night. Because about two and a half, 3 years ago, God put in my heart to pray Wednesday night for Sunday. And I started it. Brother Tim, you know what they told me? Preacher friends, your number will go down. Sorry. It goes down, she goes down. I started praying on Wednesday night. 2 months after I started praying, we seen things at Penal Church we ain't never seen. I'm talking about while I was preaching, I'd hear them screaming, I don't want to go to hell. And never make it to a pew, fall in a pew. I had to crawl under the pews to get to them. Screaming, I don't want to go to hell. I mean, tell my kids, tell teenagers. I've been in church at 2 o'clock. Watching people get born again. And I'm determined this is called that Wednesday night prayer meeting. I'm not telling you it's what you got to do, but it's what I do. And we meet on Wednesday night. And you know what I told them? You know what I'll tell them Wednesday night?
pray come Sunday morning that when we walk in them doors, there'll be something real here.
Yes, sir.
Pray for Sunday morning service. Amen. Pray for Sunday morning service. You number go down, preacher. I think Wednesday night there's over 100 there. You say, what happens? Oh, y'all just don't know what goes on sometime in prayer.
That's right.
Boy, just don't know what God does sometime when we're praying. You know what your prayer ought to be? Gospel way. Preacher, we need to pray for this. No. You need to pray, God, let me hear your dinner bell ring. God, Lord, let me hear your dinner bell ring when we get to church Sunday morning. Lord, somewhere this week, would you let our pastor hear the ringing of the bell off in the distance?
Yes, Lord.
Lord, off in the distance, would you let that preacher of ours hear that dinner bell ringing for us? Lord, come Sunday morning, Lord, would you give me an invitation to the table? Lord, Sunday morning, hope there's a lot of people there. Lord, Sunday morning, hope our number's up. Hope we got visitors. No, just go to praying God. Ring that dinner bell again. You say, why? Because there's some things you can get at church you can't get at Walmart. There's things you can get here that you can't get nowhere else. So I believe church is essential for the table that He spreads from time to time. How long has it been since you've heard a dinner bell ring? How long has it been, honestly? Y'all just come through a revival, brother. Jeremy, I talked to Jeremy all the way up the road. I had to get off right down here a while ago. Over an hour up the road. And I think, while he was here, somebody got born again. Yeah. And y'all just come through a revival, and I heard it was a good meeting. He bragged on it how good it was. But have you heard the dinner bell ring since the revival? I don't know about you. I can't go that long, Brother Tim. My mama told me this morning. She said, it's been 3 months. My mama's an old-fashioned shouter. And she had a shouting this morning. But my wife went home the other night and said this, Steve, what's wrong with your mama? That's why she ain't said a word all week while you've been in the pulpit. So she called my mama and said, what's wrong, Ann? Mama says, nothing. I've just been quiet. My mama's not a quiet person. This morning, I see my mama leave the altar and go back down the pew. And I seen that foot and that arm go up. I knew something was fitting to come across. And I seen them arms go doing this number.
Yeah.
And I heard a strange shout. I ain't heard in a long time. I looked back out at my mama, and there she was. My mama was holding us. Her head was doing this number, her hands doing this number. And she was dancing in the aisle. See, what happened, preacher? It was a while. But this morning, my mama heard that dinner bell ring.
Yes, sir.
How long has it been since you heard that bell ring? How long has it been since he's reached you, parched corn? Preacher, it's your turn.